life, and millions of people are coming to Christ.
Well, very exciting news, and I, Joel, I really appreciate you bringing us this picture, and you've done a masterful job with your book, Inside the Revolution, How the Followers of Jihad, Jefferson, and Jesus are Battling. We didn't talk much about Jefferson, but there is a mode in Islam that is embracing democracy, and so we see these competing viewpoints. And you're going to be fascinated with his book. You get to $25 or more to Save America Ministries or put it in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. I want to urge you to get those water purifiers and those emergency radios
off the
time.
And
I want to urge you also to become a partner with us, because we are reaching around the world via the Internet, believe it or not, in Islamic countries. So your gift fundraising to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well,
we urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Because we have a system where we acknowledge that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. That's the Declaration of Independence. And furthermore, that government was instituted to preserve those rights, and furthermore, that the power of the central government was to be limited so men could be free. We were not a democracy. We are not a democracy, no matter what President Obama says and our members of Congress. If you read the Constitution, we are a republic. And most of what our duly elected officials are doing, who have sworn allegiance to our Constitution, is to violate that Constitution, because it's great now they can spend all sorts of money and get themselves reelected and buy favors from wealthy people, so that when they leave Congress, they can get great jobs as lobbyists or all sorts of jobs. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what our founders feared, was that, of course, once you centralize power, power would corrupt. Lord Acton lived at the time when they were writing our Constitution. One of the things Lord Acton said was, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's why we have some of the finest congressmen in Washington, D.C. today that money could buy. And with that as a background, Pastor David Whitney, thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, it's a blessing, Dr. Stan. Thank you for getting the word out across our land and across the entire world.
Well, why don't you go right ahead and tell us the things that are on your heart tonight.
Thank you. And when Benjamin Franklin came out of the convention, someone met him on the steps. I've forgotten the woman's particular name.
Her name is Mrs. Powell. I remember her well.
Mrs. Powell,
go ahead.
As to what kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? And his reply was just perfect. He said, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it."
And you know, that's really very interesting. I mean, how do we know who it was? Well, basically, the story is told in Bartlett's quotations, and apparently it was Benjamin Franklin's aide who was right behind him. And when this lady came up and she introduced herself, he made a notation in his diary of what had happened that day, and certainly Benjamin Franklin's response, and that's how we have that story. But go right ahead.
The important thing that Franklin was saying there is it's the responsibility of we the people to keep that form of government, that republic, that it wasn't something that would just automatically be kept, and if we did nothing, that it would sort of on autopilot continue on its own. No, it took active response on the part of we the people to keep that Constitution alive, to keep that form of government functioning. And I dare say in the past 50 years plus, I know that it's probably a little longer than that, what has happened is most American people have ceased to study or understand the Constitution, and the result is that we have lost that form of government. That is, the republic that was designed by our founders is no longer being followed by those in Washington, D.C., who, as you rightly state, for money and other things have subverted the entire system. And most Americans are aware something is wrong, but they have no idea that what really is wrong is that more than 90%, 90+% of those in Washington, D.C., have set about as their purpose to destroy our constitutional republic rather than to fulfill it.
Well, because the big problem is that they don't teach it in school. People have spent a great deal of money, the foundations, to take of our educational system to alter our perception of what our government was about. That's why we need to reclaim it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, go right ahead.
James Madison had an interesting comment to make just a few years later, January of 1792. He said, every word of the Constitution decides a question between power and liberty. In other words, there's nothing insignificant about any one of the words of the Constitution, and very carefully it was crafted by them as they met in Philadelphia. It was crafted to limit the powers granted to this central government. And as you rightly stated at the beginning of the show, if all power became centralized in Washington, D.C., they recognized that they would be under a tyranny, as Jefferson and some others said, a tyranny far worse than the one from which they had just recently separated themselves with King George III. Well, as the delegates left the convention and returned to their home states, the great debate began in each state as to whether they would ratify the Constitution or not. Those in support of the Constitution were known as Federalists, and Federalism is simply the statement that there will be shared power between a federal government and a state government, and as Madison says in Federalist Paper 45, for example, that the power was to be most clearly in the favor of the state government, that they were to have far-ranging powers, very little limits upon their powers compared to the great number of limits and the small number of powers granted to the central federal government. And the reason they designed it that way is exactly what you stated earlier. If all power is centralized in a government in Washington, D.C., then no one will have liberty. Ultimately, you'll have tyranny. But if there's a counterbalancing effect that the states, having wide-ranging and larger powers than the central government, they will keep that central government in check simply because of their jealousy. They'll want to keep their powers from being eaten away, and that was the design, that there would be this balance between the state and federal governments, and that was called federalism. And the Constitution supporters became known as the Federalists. In fact, the most famous writing about the Constitution was by three of those Federalists, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay wrote what's called the Federalist Papers, giving arguments as to why the Constitution should be ratified. And these, of course, were intimately familiar with the Constitution, having worked on it for quite some time, and they knew the details of it, as opposed to those who did not agree with the Constitution, which they were labeled the Anti-Federalists. The Anti-Federalists had not seen it until it became publicly available on September.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest, Pastor David Whitney. He was talking about the two groups. When there was a question of ratification of the Constitution, there were the Federalists, and there were the Federalist Papers written by Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison, and then there were the Anti-Federalists. They were the ones who feared that this new government would eventually become tyrannical, who were demanding that there be a Bill of Rights there to further restrict the power of the government. And, of course, so it was these ideas on both sides. Now, certainly the Federalists felt that we needed a stronger central government, but they feared, of course, the power would be eventually misused. The Anti-Federalists said, well, of course it's got to be used because men are corrupt. You can't trust them in power. And, boy, do we see that in Washington, D.C. today. Oh, what, of course, they're giving money to their friends. You know, we give money to AIG, $180 billion. $180 billion. And they start shuttling it off to their friends in Goldman Sachs. In fact, the fellow who's in charge of AIG, he was put there by Henry Paulson, who came from Goldman Sachs. And there was a man named Liddy. He heads AIG, and he's got all sorts of investments in Goldman Sachs. He came from Goldman Sachs, too. And so what do? Is they simply use the AIG bailout as a means of shuttling money to their friends on Wall Street, and nobody talks about it. Certainly the newspapers are quiet because they're all controlled in it. They're all in this, and of course what they're doing is essentially destroying the financial stability of our nation so they can impoverish our people and and their children and their children. Go right ahead, David.
Well, it's interesting to study the arguments of the anti-federalists, because they had some very good arguments in their opposition to the Constitution. For example, that they said, look, Congress really hasn't authorized the Constitution. They only authorized a revision of the Articles of Confederation, not an entirely new Constitution. And actually, they're correct in that. As the convention gathered initially, they began to realize that there was no way they could actually amend the Articles of Confederation, because the Articles required all 13 states unanimously to agree to any amendments. Well, the problem right up the beginning there was that Rhode Island never showed up and never sent any delegates at all to the Constitutional Convention, so they recognized they could not amend the Articles of Confederation, and instead they were proposing an entirely new Constitution. And the debate would be, well, then, if Congress hasn't authorized them to do that, they don't have the power to do that. Well, we need to recognize Congress was not empowered. It was empowered to start the Continental Congress, or the convention, but it was actually the states and their representation in the Congress that ultimately brought about the Constitution. And no one was forced to ratify the Constitution. Each one of the 13 states could have said, no, we like the old system. We're going to stay with the Articles of Confederation. Each state had the freedom to choose to either remain under the Articles of Confederation or join the new government under the Constitution, or leave both of them and say, well, forget it, we're out of here, we want to be our own country, thank you very much, we've enjoyed the ride, but we're on our own now. So the debate that would say, well, it wasn't legitimate, falls on its face for those reasons. And they rightly also said that there was defects, yes, in the Articles of Confederation, and those defects, they claimed, they could be corrected just by a few amendments to the Articles of Confederation. Well, yeah, it's true, it could have been, but it was impossible, because our Constitution was formed after several attempts to bring together a convention that would amend the Articles of Confederation. Each time, not enough delegates were present, and finally, Rhode Island would never show up at all. So, practically speaking, no, the Articles of Confederation could not be amended, and the problems that existed could not be solved by that route. Well, their third argument, and this one is an excellent one you've already mentioned, is they said there's no Bill of Rights. And this is the most important and the strongest contribution the Anti-Federalists made to the entire process. They said if you don't have a Bill of Rights, you've got a very dangerous document indeed. And the result of not having a Bill of Rights is that you've got a government that will not be properly limited. The federal government will have too much power. Now, the Federalist response to that, and you can read it as you study the Federalist paper, is, well, you don't need to worry about not having a Bill of Rights, because anything that a Bill of Rights would contain, the federal government doesn't have any permission to be involved in at all anyway. For example, take the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights that deals with freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. All those things, all those five freedoms in the First Amendment, this new federal government has no power to deal with at all. It can't restrict the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, freedom of press. It was never given any power to do anything in that realm whatsoever. And it is true what they said. But I think the Anti-Federalists had a stronger argument, because knowing human nature, knowing what will happen over time and the corruptions that power tends towards, you need a Bill of Rights to secure and to chain down that federal government so that it cannot do egregious injury to the people's God-given rights. And so a number of the states said, well, we will only ratify this new Constitution if there is a Bill of Rights. So they kind of put a qualifier on it. If there isn't a Bill of Rights that are put forward, then this thing is null and void, and we not want no part of it. And that was strong enough argument from a number of the states that ultimately the very first thing Congress did as it met under this new Constitution, the brand new Congress, the very first thing it did was consider a Bill of Rights and put it before the states for ratification, which, as we know, ultimately was ratified. And our Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, are part of our government as a result. And so, in a sense, the anti-federalist contributed an enormous and very important element to our system of government, and that is bringing about a Bill of Rights.
And you know, but it's amazing, David, how 175 years later they would take the First Amendment that said Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then, of course, because they had packed the court with Masons who wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, they said, well, that really means not only Congress, but the states can't have any religion, so there can be no religion, of course, taught in our schools or allowed in our schools or... And so they suddenly change the entire meaning. That's the trouble with anything that's created by men, especially when you have a secret society that wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation. That was the Masons. And that is why they packed the Supreme Court with Masons. And anybody who doubts that simply has to go up on the Internet and go to your search engine and ask for the Masons and in the Supreme Court. And if you check them out, you'll find out that the Masons can control the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 for a 30-year period between 1941 and 1971. So they were able to twist the words. Everybody knew for 175 years, everybody knew that the First Amendment restricted the power of the federal government as far as religion was concerned. And then suddenly they were able to twist that and take God out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and prayer out of our schools, which was the last thing that our founding fathers intended. But isn't it interesting how wicked men can do wicked things with wicked results? And now as we see our country moving into chaos and crisis, and we can attribute it directly to the fact that there really are secret societies in America. And it's amazing nobody ever really wants to discuss these issues, and nobody will ever tell the American people why they took the prayer and God and the Ten Commandments out of our school.
And you know, in order to accomplish that, of course, they had to dumb down the population to such an extent that the people did not understand that the entire Bill of Rights, in fact, the entire Constitution, we'll study the exceptions that put some minor restrictions on the states. But the entire rest of the Constitution is all focused on limiting and restricting the federal government. And so they essentially turned the Bill of Rights on its head. Instead of restricting the federal governments, they made it a restriction on the state governments, and then the Supreme Court began to issue their opinions, and that's all courts ever can issue, opinions, not laws, but their opinions began to strike down and chip away at the powers that were rightly the powers of the states. And so you look at the major terrible Supreme Court decisions, the opinion like Roe v. Wade. What was it? It was striking down the state laws against murdering the unborn. That was the state law of Texas that Roe v. Wade was struck down. Or Lawrence v. Texas, the state law of Texas against sodomy, a crime against nature that very clearly God's law says is not just immoral, it's illegal, it's a wicked thing. And so the Supreme Court proceeded to act in a completely unconstitutional fashion to strike down the powers that were rightly in the hands of the states. And so our system has been very thoroughly subverted, but they could never have done this had it not they first accomplished the goal of not allowing the American people to understand the Constitution. And that was part of the Trojan horse of the public, I call it the miseducation system, because its goal by its founders and the 1830s was socialism. Its goal was to strip away the Christian heritage and foundation of our country and create a socialist regime instead. And they have wildly succeeded in that wicked goal. But the path backwards, and that's what I'm encouraged as I talk to people after the tea parties of last week and so on, that people are angry, people are rightly upset, but the solution has to be going back to the original design. And that takes the American people understanding the Constitution, which is exactly what we aim to accomplish at Institute on the Constitution.
And of course, the Institute of the Constitution has a wonderful program, and we'll be telling you more about that later. But people have to understand our Constitution. 100 years ago, everybody understood the Constitution. Everybody feared the power of government. Everybody knew that a government that can provide whatever you want has to be able to take whatever you have, and a government that can provide for you the cradle of the grave has to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And that's why they have those video cameras every place you look. And that's why they want everybody to carry an ID card. And that's why you have a cell phone now that they can listen to your conversations, and not only when you're talking, but when the cell phone's turned off. All of this is coming down the line as we move towards 1984. Well, David, go ahead and pick up this story.
And so those are the first three arguments that the anti-federalists had. The fourth argument is an interesting one that I find.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Constitution, but the states were going to have to vote on it, and the people would have input with their state representatives. And there are many criticisms of the Constitution But I think the most telling was, of course, that there was no Bill of Rights, and many of the states actually insisted on a Bill of Rights before they would ratify the Constitution, and although they ratified it with the idea that they were going to, of course, to have another meeting where they were going to include a Bill of Rights to limit the power of the federal government. And, of course, if you read the Bill of Rights, there are restrictions on the power of the federal government. Whatever happened to them? Why, of course, there are a group of people who wanted a fascist society. They put people into positions of power. They've changed our educational system. They control the newspapers. And so you never read what we're talking about here tonight. And that's why programs like this are so vitally important if you really value freedom. Go right ahead, David.
Well, an additional argument they had is that Congress was dangerous because it controlled both the Treasury and the military. And they said when you combine a hand on the Treasury, the money, as well as the military, that's a very dangerous thing. And they were right. I mean, just look at the history of Europe and all the wars of Europe that you would say it was the king in those designs that had the hand on the military and the hand on the Treasury. But the design of our founders was, no, that executive branch, which in the European history would have been the king, the executive branch, was stripped of its power to control the treasury in our design. The treasury was in the hand of the other branch, in this case the legislative branch. And the military was not directly in the hands of Congress. It should have been moved from office by the people and so on. And again, this was part of the design why Congress had to declare a war. Every 2 years, Congress stands for re-election. And a declaration of war basically had to be renewed by passage of a bill that would fund that war ongoing every 2 years by design, so that every 2 years the American people could weigh in as they voted for their congressman, in a sense a referendum on the war. Do we like the war? Our congressman wanted to go to war. We don't like the war. Let's get rid of him. So the people could weigh in on the war when Congress was reelected, and that was by design, which is why the Senate really wasn't involved in the declaration of war. It was the House. So,
And I think it's so interesting, David, that the American people still don't support the war, but it really doesn't matter. We elected President Obama because he was going to bring our troops home from Iraq, and now he announces, well, he's going to start bringing them home in 2010. He's going to leave 50 to 100,000 troops there, but they're not combat troops, of course. And they're going to leave the troops there. We are going to occupy the Middle East. That's what it's really all about. That's why we went there. Had nothing to do with the 9/11 attack. That was simply the excuse to get the American people to go to war, They remember all the slogans, we're going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. Do you remember that? And, we've got to do something about those weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein's going to turn them over to Osama bin Laden. And then, you remember then, of course, when George Bush landed on the aircraft carrier and the big banners, mission accomplished in Iraq, the war is over, and it was all a lie. But it's amazing how complacent people can be, not realizing they're being manipulated because the media is controlled. Who controls it? Why, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, a little small group. And they're only perhaps less than 5,000 people, but they control almost every one of the major means of communication, television, radio, publication, newspapers, magazines, and of course, as a result, they control what the American people believe. People have to stop and think. We've been fighting almost 8 years in Afghanistan, and we're going to start increasing the number of troops there. I mean, certainly Genghis Khan couldn't conquer it. The last person who conquered Afghanistan was Alexander the Great, and I don't think Obama is Alexander the Great. Well, this is Dr. Stan. David, go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, the final argument that the anti-federalists had is a very good argument as well. They said judicial review could be dangerous. They saw the powers in Article 3 that were ensconced in the judicial branch, and they said, well, there could be a grave danger in this design. And yet when you actually study, when we get to that portion, when we study the Article 3, we see...
And simply for them to do the misdirection, for them to do the cover-up, and for them to stamp things top secret to keep people from going very far with investigations. And so it does not take, it's not necessary to have hundreds and hundreds of people involved with a huge cover-up like this. You just have to control the upper directors on this thing. And what we discovered, and what, because of time limitations this evening, what I'm going to do is kind of hit on some of the most amazing or outrageous bits and pieces that we are able to actually get good documentation of, and in some cases, wonderful film footage and even interviews that we had dug up by going through archival materials for almost an entire year before putting any of this together. And the very first thing was the fact that the statements from Governor Conley of Texas, who was on board and was actually shot in the vehicle assassination hit team that had been put together many years earlier by Richard Nixon when he was actually the Vice President of the United States. And he'd put together a group called the ZR Rifle Team, and they actually had carried out this triangulation assassination several times in foreign countries, eliminating enemies of the CIA. And the basic application was shooting a person from three different directions to eliminate them, even within a moving target like Kennedy, and additionally pre-planning to have some sucker, the Patsy, as Oswald turned out to be, have the Patsy pointed out and then also seen to it that he was eliminated before he ever really went to a trial. And again, this is a whole method of operation. It had been set up by the CIA. They used it for many years and, in fact, successfully. So this same, some folks put together from this same group under the arm of the CIA had, in fact, put the hit team in to eliminate President Kennedy. And there was a lot of people that were angry at Kennedy, so to figure out exactly who may have been the primary people that did this, it may be a little bit difficult. But the bottom line was, of course, he had fired and eliminated the very assassination teams that we're talking about. And he had also fired, of course, the head, Dulles,
Dulles, right.
And the head of the CIA, gotten rid of him. He gotten rid of a whole bunch of old Central Intelligence assassins and high-level spies. And that, of course, had really angered the CIA. So it's very likely that they were the primary persons behind this.
But, of course, J. Edgar Hoover had to cover it up, too. It's obvious that the FBI, there was an FBI cover-up, there was a CIA cover-up, and then, of course, the Warren Commission was entirely a cover-up, you know. And here, who do they put on the Warren Commission to find out if there's a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy? But Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, who'd been fired by Kennedy, and probably the man with the most reason to want to see Kennedy dead. I mean, the hypocrisy of this whole thing is really what's so amazing, and nobody ever challenged it. Of course, the people who were on the committee went along with it. Gerald Ford was there as a congressman. They made him president of the United States to reward him for what he did. And, of course, the people who disagreed with what was going on, like Congressman Hale Boggs, when his plane went down, the FBI knew where it was a couple of years later, why they would not allow a rescue effort in Hale Boggs and everybody on the plane, who were quite alive when they landed up in Alaska, were allowed to die. That is what happens when you try to tell the truth. And Hale Boggs, who was on the Warren Commission, tried to tell the truth and paid for it with his life. But go right ahead.
Well, some of the most interesting or exciting or unusual bits and pieces that I was able to discover with my research is some of the following things. First off, there was a meeting the day before the killing in Dallas, Texas, by Richard Nixon, also Vice President Johnson, and some very high-level CIA operatives and some extreme right-wing persons on a ranch in Dallas, Texas, or right near Dallas, Texas. Now, they actually flew in, Nixon and Johnson actually flew in for this meeting the day before the assassination in Dallas. Now, this is very strange. You can, you know, there's all this this business about coincidental actions. You know, that's really bizarre.
Well, and how did you find out about that? Because I talked to a woman who was actually at the meeting, and she didn't go to the inner sanctum, but she was there that night at Clint Murchison's home. How did you hear about that?
Well, I, again, originally had heard about that particular meeting by a person, a very close friend of mine, who was, in fact, an intelligence agent, that, in fact, that did take place, etc. But then, lo and behold, what I was able to discover, which we do have on the DVD, is the very fact a newsreel was able to catch the coverage of both Johnson and Nixon flying in for that meeting. There was another meeting that was one meeting was a covert meeting. There was another meeting that was, we'll call, overt, and it was a Pepsi-Cola, a meeting of executives of Pepsi-Cola. And Nixon and Johnson had claimed that they had flown in for that particular meeting. And but I actually have the physical films of them landing on a small commercial aircraft, Vice President Johnson landing for that meeting, and it was a piece of actual film that I was able to get a hold of. And that's included on our DVD. So anybody that says that those guys were not there in Dallas the day before, we have absolute verbatim proof that they were, because they actually are on film. And we found that, and we've included it in our report. Now, additionally, you have to understand something. That is that the Pepsi-Cola people had been big losers on the Bay of Pigs failure. When Castro had taken over Cuba, they had Pepsi-Cola was the most powerful commercial entity in Cuba, not counting the mobsters that had the casinos. So he had the mobsters, Santos Traficante, the drug smuggling high-level mobster involved, and with great losses on the Cuban thing, which had been failed under the Kennedy administration. You also had the Pepsi-Cola people who literally were and had run in all the third world nations of the world the Central Intelligence covert cover-up operation. The Pepsi-Cola people have been involved with the CIA for years and years and years in Vietnam. It was displayed in the movie. Remember the movie that was done by Mel Gibson? I guess it was Air America, the one about the drug smuggling during the war. And they showed where they had blown up a Pepsi-Cola processing company there, because they were, in fact, shipping and processing cocaine or dope. But the Pepsi Company had been a CIA front operation in all of the third world nations, including Cuba. They had taken a tremendous hit. And lo and behold, here we have, the day before the assassination of Kennedy, we have Nixon and Johnson and other high-level persons meeting together with the Pepsi-Cola people in Dallas. Interestingly enough, Nixon claimed he forgot where he was that day of the assassination and the day before, as if anybody in the world ever forgot where they were when Kennedy was killed. That's ridiculous. But anyhow, so I believe, and I am absolutely a firm believer, that Johnson, Nixon, and other people of that group there were all completely aware of what was going to happen, if not directly involved in some manner.
And then, of course, some of the big oil men apparently were very angry with of Kennedy for doing away with the oil depletion allowance, and the military was furious with him because he wanted to get out of Vietnam. But the real thing was that they wanted an assassination. They wanted to put a man in the White House who would do their bidding. And there is an invisible government that runs our country, and they decided to kill John Fitzgerald Kennedy. They did. And then, of course, they totally beguiled the American people. That's why this video is so important. Go right ahead, Bob.
All right. So as we move forward with our investigation, and I was trying to find...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
From the probably the front, that was one to his throat, and then there was the one that grew off his head. But they cannot let the American people know that, because obviously then it couldn't have been the lone assassin up there in the Texas Book Depository. So they have to come up with all these cover stories. They have to lie and lie and lie. And, of course, certainly Dr. Crenshaw, who was the resident there at Parkland Hospital, personally told me, and you can hear his story in our four-tape set on the Kennedy assassination, the story of Bob.
Well, and that very shot that he's talking about, coming from the front, that one and probably the other one that hit the windshield came from the railroad overpass. So, you know, the railroads have been stopped there, and those folks that are old students of all of this will remember that there were three tramps picked up and then released, and that they were picked up right up there on the flatbeds or in one of the, in and around the cars that were stopped up there, the railroad cars. Those frontal shots, including the one that hit him in the hit Kennedy in the neck, came in through the front under his throat, under his chin, and because the autopsy and his clothing shows very clearly that there was a bullet hole some 6 to 7 inches out his back below the bullet hole in his Adam's apple. In other words, the shot had to have entered on a downward angle from that overpass of the railroad cars at an angle downward that would have, one of them hit the windshield, didn't work. Another one hit him right in the throat. Actually, that was the first shot, right into the throat and exited 6 inches lower on his back. That would be a downward direction from the front, not a downward direction from the back. So that totally eliminates that shooter from the up in the book depository. One or two shots probably came from that position. The one shot also, by the way, the one shot that struck Kennedy in the head and killed him, that was the grassy knoll shot. And it was a minimum of one. We did have a witness that said that, who was a military man that almost was hit by it. He said that he thought there was a second shot coming from up there on the grassy knoll. But that would have been the one, of course, that hit him in the head up there from the right frontal direction. So you have a shooter up on the... one or two shooters, at least, up on the railroad overpass. One fella, his name was Roscoe White. He was a member of the ZR Rifle CIA hit team, and he was on the Dallas police force. And he was the guy that they have these terrible photographs of, but they do have pictures of a fella in the blue uniform right up there in the grassy knoll area, and also physical witnesses, which I have all of their interviews live on our video DVD, talking about the guy up there on the grassy knoll. So we have one shot in the windshield frame, one shot in the front, missed, they hit the window, fractured it, that one came from the front. We have the shot through Kennedy's neck, came from the front. We have one that probably came from the back that hit Connolly, and we have the one that from the grassy knoll that terminated President Kennedy. Kennedy had actually signed the paperwork to stop the Vietnam War. That was one of the big rubs also, as you said, with the defense people that were making millions, the oil and steel people, and all of those that did not want to stop the war. 4 days after Johnson took over the presidency of the United States, he canceled that original order that had been done by Kennedy to stop the war, and he changed, and they started escalating the war 4 days after Johnson took over.
And then 58,000 American bodies died in a no-win war. How many did we abandon over there?
Re-racked another shell, because these are one-shot assassination weapons commonly, and they can re-establish one more round and pull off another one, and the second, third guy can pull off theirs once again. So you have the possibility of two rounds in only a few seconds coming from three directions. And for the people that don't, think, well, gee, that would be really tricky stuff and all of that, just last week we had the exact example of that done by the guys that killed those pirates. And they were our own assassin hit guys that were brought in, the frogmen, or whatever you want to call them, the special ops guys. They dropped them in with from an airplane. They parachuted them in. They came in. They set up. It was three of them. They set up, and on a countdown, a five-second countdown, each one of them had one man in their sight, and they simultaneously, within 1.5 seconds, took out all three of these pirates. This is the same application and skill that was utilized by the Z Rifle assassination team that killed Kennedy. And again, it's a 5 second countdown. Once they're all locked on a target, each one had one man assigned to them, and they literally went boom, and that's the end of it. And three guys were killed simultaneously. So the people that don't think or think this is like a motion picture kind of stuff, that's exactly what took place last week in the Pirates, and that's what took place so many years ago, killing Kennedy.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, we're talking to Bob Fletcher and about the assassination of President Kennedy. We do know that in the congressional investigation, the last investigation, special House committee investigation, they heard a soundtrack, of course, of what happened that day, and there were four shots. In other words, if there were four shots, then everything that the Warren Commission had said was a lie. And, of course, it was so interesting that as soon as the House Commission came up with that conclusion, they immediately disbanded the House Commission. Why didn't they go ahead? I mean, they've proven everything was a lie. There were their four shots. There's no way that it could have come from Lee Harvey Oswald. But they were not about to go looking any further, because I think the members of that committee realized that if they got too close to the truth, their lives would be in danger as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in very uncertain times. There really are wicked people out there who think nothing at all of killing people. And I can give you the names of a number of people I've been associated with. Some of them I've interviewed here, where they've actually killed them. People I've interviewed, and some of my friends have died under very mysterious circumstances. I know people who've been sent to prison, who've been threatened to silence them. But you're not going to hear this sort of thing. The one thing they do not want is for the American people to know that there really is a small clique that runs this country and, of course, kills people throughout the world and sometimes even kills American leaders. Let's go right ahead with the story there, Bob.
Well, and when I mentioned earlier, there was three guys that were dressed as hobos and were arrested by the Dallas police, and, of course, they were let go very shortly and never actually booked. Those three guys were Frank Sturgis, Ed Lansdale of the CIA, Frank Sturgis of the CIA, and I can't think off the top of my head the other gentleman's name, but the three of them that were arrested actually were all interfaced. Now, even including, and E. Howard Hunt, I'm sorry, that was the other one. E. Howard Hunt was known to be the bag man, or the guy that handled the money and the payoffs on these operations. Frank Sturgis was directly involved, and it was later exposed that Sturgis is the guy that actually had the weapons, the specialty assassination rifles, brought into Dallas for the hit. And Sturgis, who has now passed away, he died at 75 years of age a few years back, and he had actually admitted on his deathbed, and it's well known, and he had admitted it also to major reporters, etc., that, in fact, he was one of the guys that killed Kennedy. Again, it's been so many years now, but the story, of course, fell apart slowly but surely. The fellow that did the shooting on the grassy knoll, his name was Roscoe White. He was on the police department in Dallas. His wife, coincidentally, but actually not coincidentally, his wife worked for Ruby. She was a dancer in one of Ruby's clubs. And, of course, Ruby was, of course, the guy that ended up shooting Oswald and eliminating the patsy. Of course, once Oswald was killed, then it's easy to just say, well, we knew it was him, and that was the end of it. Of course, there never was a trial. Oswald also, to clarify his situation, he was a Central Intelligence agent. He was involved with the U-2 aircraft in Turkey. He was, of course, everybody knows he went to Russia and brought back a Russian wife. Well, you couldn't back in those days, during the Cold War, you can't go to Russia, renounce your citizenship, which he did, go and marry a Russian lady whose uncle was one of the high-level KGB directors, and then a few years later come back to the United States and ever get back into the USA unless you were a CIA agent.
Well, not only that, of course, but the State Department paid his way back. Why would the U.S. State Department pay the way back for a man who'd renounced his citizenship? Unless, of course, he was an operative all the time. In fact, the Russians always believed he was an operative. They knew he was an operative. But we can't let the American people know that. Because if he was a CIA operative and working both CIA and FBI, that means there was a conspiracy, and the people who killed President Kennedy have never been brought before the bar of justice. But go right ahead.
And by the way, the guy that signed the high-level paperwork to move him quickly back into the United States, along with his Russian wife, the niece of the KGB agent, and bring him into Dallas, was the senator out of Texas. Oh, wow, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name. Anyhow, John Tower, excuse me. Senator John Tower signed the paperwork to get Oswald back into the United States, and John Tower, who had threatened many years later to blow the whistle on other and this operation and others that he was involved with, including the October surprise. John Tower was involved with several covert operations. He started to talk like he was going to blow the whistle, and guess what happened, folks? Somehow somebody blew up his airplane in midair, and Senator John Tower died in one of those unfortunate aircraft accidents.
Right.
So they eliminated John Tower so that he would never blow the whistle on the Kennedy murder, but also he would never blow the whistle on what took place with the old October surprise, which is another whole separate story.
Well, because I know a little bit about that, because I know a man who claims he actually flew a George Bush to Paris, you know, to meet with the representatives of the Iranian government, to get them to not to release the hostages until Shola, actually after Ronald Reagan was in the presidency. But before we go on, Bob, let's go ahead and get your website out there, because we get so busy talking. And,
sure.
And Bob's got a lot of great things. Now, we carry a lot of them, but Bob's got a lot of great information, too. So why don't you get your website out there?
Sure. It's real simple. You just go online and punch up BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Just BobFletcherInvestigations, one long word, .com. And our website will come up, and you'll see all of the different specialty investigations that are on DVD that you can get for yourself and have copies of some of this amazing material that we were able to come up with, including, as I said, on the Kennedy assassination, we have testimony and we have newsreels and things that were hidden for 25, 30 years that we were able to locate, and including the pictures of the windshield that I was talking about that took a couple of the bullets in the assassination. So it's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. And
these are excellent DVDs. We carry them. I think they're all on DVD now, aren't they, Bob?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right, fine. We created them originally in video, and but I think
they're all
on DVDs. Yes, and this is the sort of thing you need to get. You need to help us get the information out across America, ladies and gentlemen, because you're not going to get it on the History Channel, and you're not going to get this, you know, certainly on the Discovery Channel, and you're not going to get this on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Why? Because they're all controlled, and they don't want the American people to learn the truth. But go right ahead.
And by the way, several years after... I think it was 1999, the CIA and the Department of Defense and all the rest released information that they had taken the original Kennedy coffin that he was transported originally in from Dallas to Washington to the hospital there, and that they had thrown that casket, dropped that casket in the ocean way back in, actually in 67 or sometime like that, quite a while back. And it was, of course, there was 30 years before they even told us about it, and that the bronze casket that was used to transport Kennedy from Dallas to Washington was dropped from a military aircraft into the ocean 2 years after he was killed, according to top secret documents that were finally released in 1999. The casket was dropped in 9,000 feet of water, 9,000 feet deep in the Atlantic Ocean, in an area where they commonly drop old weapons so that they don't worry about them exploding or being found by divers or anything like that. It's a completely a military off area that you're not allowed to go near anyhow, and they dropped it. Well, now, you know, first of all, anybody's got any sense to say, why in the world, 2-3 years after the case, why did they drop that coffin? Well, on my DVD, we were able to come up with the interviews with the guys that had, the one gentleman who actually had wrapped Kennedy up and put him into a very expensive bronze coffin. Now, that's the one that they're talking about that they dumped in the ocean. But when he arrived, and they put it on the airplane flew into Washington, when the body was received in Washington, it had been changed into, put into a body bag and a gray metal box cheap casket like they ship bodies out of Vietnam in large quantities. All right, this is just an old metal coffin. And it was not that bronze coffin. So now, right away you have to say, well, wait a second, what are we talking about? What had taken place was on board the aircraft where they had actually transported from Texas to Washington, somebody had gone in and removed Kennedy's brain. So when he had this terrible wound and all in Dallas, but the brain was still basically intact. And of course, any good coroner could have gone in, done a proper autopsy, and they would have come back and said, hey, one bullet came in through his throat this way and that way, but this other bullet that hit him in the head came in from the front. They would have been able to track it. So they had to totally destroy the evidence. And this is so disgusting, it's mind-boggling. But they had actually gone in and taken his brain out and put him even into a different coffin. So when they got into Washington, I have the live video interview of the guys that had, first off, the one that put it in the fancy coffin, and then the two guys that received it in a crummy little gray metal box coffin, and one fellow that actually talked about when they unwrapped the body, the size of the wound was so huge, he was able to put both of his hands in one, made up together like a fist. He was able to put it in the wound and take his hands back out, that there was absolutely no brain left in that body when he received it for autopsy. And so that fancy coffin that the Defense Department later told us they threw in the ocean, that contained all of the tools that they had used to eliminate, take that brain out, and probably, this is disgusting, but probably contained his brain. And they dumped that thing in the ocean. It was sealed and dumped in the ocean for nobody to ever be able to get a hold of it again. And we have the live interviews with all of these people that did this original transporting and all the rest of it. And they say right in there, one guy said, hey, it was a very expensive coffin. And the other guy said, when we got it in Washington, it was just an old gray shipping box that we put all the soldiers in coming out of Vietnam.
And that is exactly what Dr. Crenshaw told me, that the casket that left the Parkland Hospital there in Dallas was not the casket that arrived in Washington, D.C.,
yep,
or at Bethesda. And apparently, it was even sometime there was a question that something was done even after he got off the plane, and they did one autopsy, and then they took him over to Bethesda for another one.
Right,
and
that's very, very likely. And all of those interviews I was able to find, and we have them completely live on our DVD, and explains all of that absolutely disgusting manner by which they handled his dead body. And so the bottom line is, I guess, you know, once you when you really go over it and you find all of these huge discrepancies, and also including some of the most important parts are the interfacing and the connections. There was a direct connection between Ruby and Nixon going back to 1947. Now, here you had Ruby. This fellow's name was Jack Rubenstein. He was up north and running. He was a mob-connected personality, which, by the way, Nixon was absolutely a mob-connected personality. And Ruby was actually a stool pigeon, if you will, for Nixon. And when Nixon was way back in the early 50s and 40s, late 40s, Nixon was involved as a prosecutor and district attorney and all of that before he became politically mixed and got into the presidency and vice presidency. But Nixon had actually gotten Ruby reestablished, assisted in getting him reestablished down in New Orleans. What had happened was they were going to bring Ruby before the investigations on un-American activities up north, and Nixon stepped in and said, don't do that. This guy has been feeding me information for years about the mob and helped in prosecution, so please don't do that. We'll take him away, put him down someplace like in New Orleans and Texas, and we'll get him out of your way. So Ruby and Nixon go back that far. And then, of course, the other guys, Frank Sturgis and Hunt and these guys, those fellas that were arrested there at the railroad area for right over top of Kennedy at the scene where he was murdered, those guys were directly all involved later with Nixon. These Frank Sturgis actually did time for being one of the Watergate burglars. See, so when you get into it, it's absolutely amazing. These guys were so interfaced, and they strung together back as far as 15, 20 years even before and around the event. You had Roscoe White, again, I've come back to him, the shooter on the grassy knoll. He actually was in the military with Oswald. So he was not even a stranger for Oswald. That's, again, where we get back to Oswald, in fact, being a Central Intelligence agent. Roscoe White was a Naval Intelligence agent.
But they all worked together behind the scenes, and the fact that they were able to get away with the murder of Kennedy and then involve us in a no-win war in Vietnam, because it was a no-win war, and then, of course, you know, Sidney, what happened in, as far as the attack on the Murrah building, attack on Waco, the attack on the Twin Towers, they've never told us the truth, and there's no question at all that the Twin Towers were controlled demolition. And all those people died for nothing. The murderers are still out there, ladies and gentlemen, and they must be brought before the bar of justice if America is to survive as a free society. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program with Bob Flesher.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Bob's DVDs are excellent, the one on JFK, the one on certainly government secrecy, the mind control programs, on weather control, the murder of Sonny Bono, the UFOs. All of them are available. If you want more information, call us at 1-800-544-8927 and just ask the girls there to tell you all of the DVDs that he has. We have them. We think they're well worthwhile, well done, well verified. And Bob, of course, is a great patriot. We're so fortunate to be able to work with him and so many of the other people we have on here on a regular basis. So if you'd like to get those DVDs by Bob Fletcher, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have a great new DVD. It's called, a 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. And you'll actually hear some of these government assassins talking about who they've been asked to kill. You'll have the interview with Roger Wilcox, who interviewed the man, actually got the diary of the man who was hired to kill General Patton. That's included in the four CD set, but we have the book Target Patton, and then, of course, we have the information on how they killed Bobby Kennedy. We have a Kennedy special. You can get the DVD. You can get the book Who Killed Bobby or the four-tape set on that. We have the four-tape set on the murder of Martin Luther King with people who were involved in the trial when, of course, Martin Luther King's family brought suit against Lloyd Jowers. And after 4 weeks of trial, the jury found that the government was involved and not a word in the control media. The last thing they want you to know is the truth, that the government killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Martin Luther King, the story of what happened to the USS Liberty. We have a four-tape set. We have a DVD, we have a video on the Liberty, and then we have a Liberty special. We've got a little syllabus, and you get the Liberty special, or you can get into the items separately. All of these men on the Liberty were threatened that they would be killed. These were American servicemen. They were threatened by a United States admiral and told they would be killed if they ever told what happened that day. And that's why it's so important that you help us get the information out on the USS Liberty. Because this is the reason that people aren't coming forward and telling the truth about what happened on September 11th. They've been threatened. They will be killed if they tell the truth. And there's so many other stories out there. If you don't know what really happened at Waco, why, of course, they sent in the Special Forces team. We have people on the Special Forces team who tell about that. Why don't the people eventually come forward? Why, they were sent to Somalia. Do you hear about the Black Hawk Down episode in Somalia? A lot of the men who was killed there had been part of that, the Special Forces team that went in and killed the Davidians. That is called Waco, A New Revelation. That's Waco, A New Revelation. We have the original DVD, Waco, The Rules of Engagement, but Waco, A New Revelation is even more fascinating because here you will see people who are members of the Special Forces who knew the people who were sent in to kill the Branch Davidians. You'll hear them tell their story, and you will never hear this story elsewhere. We also carry the rules of engagement, and then another one goes into the FLIR project. The FLIR project, we have that on DVD. We have then three DVDs on Waco. We have so much information through Radio Liberty. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can hear our programs there. 9 hours a day on the Internet, or archive programs, or live programs, or blog, or MP3. Help us get the information out. Tell others about Radio Liberty. Encourage them to listen. To get the information out, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if we don't have a revival in this country, we're going to lose America. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.